turn with me tonight, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 for a message entitled The Shoes of Gospel Peace. Glad you're able to be here tonight, and we just want to gather around the Word together. Good to sing these songs. Thank you, Brother Mitch and Praise Team, for leading us in worship this morning and this evening. Good songs. Thankful to the Lord. We've been in this series on spiritual battle on Sunday nights and looked at narratives first, and then we got to this actual doctrinal passage on spiritual battle, and it's been good for me. It's been timely for me. I hope that's the case for you and our church family as well. And I do want to begin reading at verse 10 tonight and read down to verse 15 just to keep this all together to remind us some of what we've looked at, how we've got to stand strong in His power. Our power will never be enough. We've got to have His, and we've got to put on the whole armor of God. And the battle that we have is ultimately against the devil himself. So let's begin reading tonight at verse 10. Just remain seated for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you, Lord, for this study on spiritual battle, because we're certainly in it. And we will be in it all of our days upon this earth. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take that to heart. Help us to see that we will lose battles unless we take up the equipment, the armor, the weapons, Lord, that you have given us to fight. And even then, Lord, that we might pray and that we might stand in the power of your might, for we are no match for the evil one, but you and your armor is. And I pray that you would help us tonight to think about these shoes of gospel of peace, Lord, and all that it means for us to be able to be successful, to stand firm in the spiritual battle in which we're in. I ask for your direction in Jesus' name. Amen. The shoes of gospel peace. Well, number one, I want to say something about the importance of the shoes for battle. Paul says, having shod your feet. So we've got to put them on. There's something we've got to do. And there's a certain kind of shoe for us to put on. One author recounted a particular scene from the movie Forrest Gump. He said, you've probably either seen or heard about the 1994 Academy Award-winning mega blockbuster, Forrest Gump. And the film captivated audiences with its ability to capture the nuances of a unique character, of course, named Forrest. Several times during the film, we see Forrest sitting on a bench next to a local nurse. He's explaining different things to. And at one point, Forrest begins a conversation with the nurse. And after admiring her comfortable shoes for a while, he says, my mama always says you can tell a lot about a person by their shoes. Where they're going, where they've been. A little bit of philosophy in that. You can tell a lot about a person and a lot about us at the moment, even about our shoes, can't you? You know, maybe we use dress shoes for church or tennis shoes for playing tennis or to be casual. Maybe something like cleats to play baseball, boots to do work in, and so forth. With the Roman soldier in view, Paul had in mind the caliga, an open-toed sandal boot of sorts, with a very thick bottom which was studded with short nails for traction. They were designed to walk in, to march in, to stand one's ground in during hand-to-hand combat. So the gospel then is something to walk in and to march in, to stand our ground in. I remember at Fort Knox, one interesting thing is when they were issuing all of the equipment, they gave you two pairs of boots. so you could wear one pair one day and one the next was the main thought of it. But they wanted those boots to fit right, because guess what? You were going to be in them all the time. And you were going to march in them. You were going to run in them. You were going to go through different terrain in them. You might have to go to battle in them. And so they wanted them to have a good fit. And, of course, they were made out of a good leather, you know, for so that you could be prepared for battle. Well, Rick Reiner, a Greek scholar, he points out that during times of battle, something called a greave would be attached to the shoes to protect the lower legs. It was something made of brass or bronze, and we might compare it to a shin guard that a baseball catcher or soccer player might wear. So when fitted for battle with all of that together to make the shoe along with the greave, meant that you were protected to blows even to your lower legs, blows that would otherwise cripple you. You are protected against if you had this entire shoe piece on. You could walk through thorny terrain without the thorns getting you, and you could stand your ground in order to fight. And the shoes are so important, you really can't do battle at all without them. You know, it would be like running down a gravel road barefooted or running through a field that would quickly produce a stick or a stob that would render you unable to keep on fighting. It would hurt your foot. So what I'm saying is the shoes are essential, and that's especially true when we look at the spiritual nature of them, the importance of the shoes. A second thing I want you to notice is the peace of the shoes. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Notice Paul included this phrase, preparation of. It's not only the gospel of peace, but the preparation of the gospel of peace. Scholar William Gurnall said the foot carries the whole body. What the shoe is to the foot, that preparation, the Christian spiritual readiness is to the will. The man whose feet are well shod is not afraid to go through thick or thin, foul or fair, stones or straws, but the barefooted man or the one with fragile shoes shrinks when his feet touch mud, and shrieks when he stumbles on a sharp stone. Only those with prepared hearts can go forward. Others are unable to walk where these saints run. So preparation indicates that I believe we need to study the gospel and all of the intricacies of its benefits. You know, certainly if we're going to share the gospel, we have to know what all is involved in the gospel. At least those basics, you know, the fact that we're sinners. We have to know that before we see our need for salvation. That sin separates us from God. But Jesus has paid for our sins on the cross to demonstrate God's love. And he was raised victorious from the grave to prove that victory. And we can be saved as a gift of God, not by our works. We can accept it by repentance and faith in order to have salvation from our sins. We confess Jesus as our Lord while believing in our heart about the resurrection, and we're saved. So we do well to study the gospel and even mark those verses that are involved so we can be prepared to share the gospel. But certainly Paul had something more, something deeper in mind. There are a lot of implications about the gospel than just being saved initially. The gospel is not just something that saves us, but something by which saved people then live. And the New Testament's clear about how important that is. And since that's true, we need to study and know how we share and how we live differently in light of the gospel. So in this vein, we always see two facets of peace that the gospel includes in Scripture. And we looked at this one Sunday morning not too long ago because we were in a passage that dealt with peace. But let's look at it maybe with fresh eyes tonight. The gospel talks about, for one thing, peace with God. It's called, we notice again in our passage, the preparation of the gospel of peace. So when I think about how the Roman soldiers' shoes were made, I believe I can paint the picture for you. There were two pieces of very thick leather involved in the sole. And first there would be that lower piece, and they would drive little nails through it. Rick Reiner says they could be 1 inch or longer. and those were the spikes that were drove through that lower piece of leather. And then another similar thick piece of leather was sewed onto the top of that, and that's where your feet, of course, actually rested. And then the rest of the shoe was built. But those soles were the main part. So that, to me, the inside sole, that part your feet is on, reminds me of our peace with God. You know, we've got to have our salvation to begin with in order to have peace with God. Otherwise, we're told that until that time, we're enemies of God. We're on the wrong side. You know, there is separation between God and us, Isaiah 59:2 says, because of our sins. And the only way we can have peace with God is through the gospel of peace, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can have peace with God. We're not going to do it by our good works. We're not going to do it by our good outweighing our bad, or even by doing religious things, only by receiving the gospel as a gift because of what our Lord Jesus has done. And so when we think about peace with God, I think about that inside soul and the fact that we've got to have something to stand on, and it's our salvation in the gospel of Christ. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So notice how nicely those verses would tie in with the shoes of the gospel of peace. We walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit now, if we're in Christ Jesus. So again, before we're saved, we're enemies of God, actually destined for hell, but the gospel applied by faith brings us peace with God through Jesus. A.B. Simpson is reported to have said that the gospel tells rebellious men that God is reconciled, that justice is satisfied, that sin has been atoned for, that the judgment of the guilty may be revoked, the condemnation of the sinner canceled, the curse of the law blotted out, the gates of hell closed, the portal of heaven opened wide, the power of sin subdued, the guilty conscience healed, the brokenhearted comforted, the sorrow and misery of the fall undone, or we might say reversed. So we can have peace with God through this gospel of peace. But we can also, there's another facet the Bible talks about, we can have the peace of God through this same gospel. And I don't mind telling you, friend, this is what I need a little more of tonight, is a peace of God in this world and in this life. I need the peace of God despite the battles going on around us. And I think the bottom of the soul that has those spikes in it has something to do with that. You know, most of you have probably seen some cleats before, right? That baseball players wear, some soccer players might wear. But back in my day, you know, most of them had little plastic knobbies on them. But I remember playing baseball. Now, we were in the community league with some rough guys, okay? And I remember one day seeing a pair of cleats that had metal nail-like spikes coming out. Some of y'all seen cleats like that before? I'm telling you what, I wouldn't want to make any contact with that type of cleat. But imagine the firmness grip that you could get with cleats like that. And when I think about these Roman soldiers potentially having inch-long nails in the bottom of them, I'm thinking they're going to stand their ground pretty good, right? And that's the very thing that Paul wanted to paint for us. We need the peace of God. Now, we notice, and I believe even just taking this whole passage and certainly the whole book of Ephesians into account, we know Paul is not saying that if we have the shoes of the gospel of peace, we're going to have peace that means absence of hostility or war. No. This is part of the equipment for war. He's talking about having peace despite the battle going on around us. That's what the Christian needs, and that's what the Christian can have. We're not going to get out of doing spiritual battle. We're going to be doing it if we're living for Jesus. But we can have peace in the battle. We can stand our ground if we have on these gospel shoes. And I do believe that bottom sole with the cleats in it represents this peace of God that we can have so that we can stand our ground in the battle. When Jesus was in the upper room about to go to the cross, and shortly thereafter into heaven, he told his disciples in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So it's interesting to me that Jesus distinguished the peace that he offers from the false peace that the world might offer. And, you know, that the world we're in today, man, it's offering a lot of false peace, right? It offers peace in the form of a pill, perhaps, or a bottle, or a drug, or entertainment, or self-help books. There's lots of ways you can get that false peace that really doesn't bring you true peace. Only Jesus offers a true peace that dispels our fears despite our circumstances. And Jesus displayed this peace himself on many occasions. But think about when he was sleeping during a storm. Can you imagine those disciples? You know, they're all worked up and nervous and stuff. They literally have to wake Jesus up in order for him to deal with it. Why? Because he's not worried about the storm. He's in the same storm they are. But he's not concerned about it. He's the Lord of the storm, right? Those guys didn't realize how safe they were, right? They were in the boat with Jesus. It wasn't going down. And how many times has that crossed our minds together as a church family? You know, we're not going to do away with the storms, but being in the boat with Jesus is how we can have that peace that eventually can make the storm calm with our Savior in charge. So it's not peace from all the storms of life, but the supernatural peace that's available even during the storm. And I'm confessing to you, that's what I need a little bit more of tonight. You know, got some things going on that are stormy. And I just need the peace of God, a bigger measure. And I hope, you know, maybe you do. And tonight's time for you to reflect on your need for that. In Philippians 4:7, this is really awesome because of the situation in which Paul writes this. But in Philippians 4:7, Paul called it the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, which will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why is it important? Because when Paul wrote that verse, Philippians 4:7, about the peace of God, he was writing the letter of Philippians in between two soldiers that he was handcuffed to, right? He was looking at these soldiers from which he got the illustration for us in Ephesians 6, including those spiky cleats on the bottom of their soldier shoes, right? And so Paul is saying, from one who's in a bind right now, Jesus can give us peace. He can give us peace. He can calm our mind down. He can guard your heart, even though some things seem to be going wrong in your life. And I believe that peace of God is what's available to us through Christ. It's available for relationship problems. It's available for cancer. It's available for natural disasters. It's available for the coronavirus. It's available for ministry in difficult places. But we have to shod our feet. We have to put it on, see? We have to allocate it. It's already ours in Christ, but we've talked about it with other pieces of the armor. You know, wouldn't it be crazy? I remember playing, I only played junior high football, but we had something called locker room, right? And you went and everybody had their little cubby, and there were shoulder pads and thigh pads and, you know, the other stuff that you put on, including cleats or shoes to play football with. And I just can't imagine going in and having the locker room and there's a stuff, you know, my little cubby had my name on it right there and my number. Wouldn't it be crazy to just run out on the field and leave all that stuff in the cubby? You know, it's got my name on it. So it's been sized for me. Those are my shoulder pads, thigh pads. We've got it, friend. We've got it. If we're in Christ, we have access to all these pieces of armor. But Paul is telling us we have to allocate it. We got to put it on. we can make the mistake of leaving it in the cubby and running out on the battlefield completely vulnerable. And if we do that, we're going to lose spiritual battles. We're going to lose. We've got to have His power and His might. And Paul is telling us one way we get it is by putting on the armor, including these shoes. The importance of the shoes, the peace of the shoes. Then I want to notice something about the gospel nature of the shoes. Really interesting, the wording here, and I think people miss it with these shoes a lot. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Many who outline this passage simply call them the shoes of peace. But our passage says the preparation of the gospel of peace. Doesn't it seem very fitting to you that the shoes have a gospel nature about them? As we go, as we carry the gospel, then that means not only the reality of our salvation, but we're carrying the gospel with us. As we walk with these shoes and we're remembering that we're carrying this peace around with us, how one sinner can lead another sinner to Christ. Billy Graham said, Christ says, go, a little word, but wrapped up in this little word is the whole sum and substance of Christ's gospel. Go is the first part of the word gospel. It should be a watchword of every true follower of Christ. It should be emblazoned on the banners of the church. Go, says the Master. And nearly 2,000 years have dragged their weary links down the road of time, and yet millions of people are sitting in spiritual darkness. The feet with these gospel shoes of peace. Going forward means we have a chance to advance in this spiritual battle. You know, spiritual battle, friend, the very highest degree of it is when we share the gospel. Devil don't want that to happen, right? He hadn't wanted it to happen within churches forever. He doesn't want mission trips to happen. He wants there to be problems. He doesn't want outreach to keep going. He wants there to be problems. He doesn't want you to notice that person in line or that person at work who needs Jesus as Lord. He wants you to just go on about your merry way, and he'll try to distract you and keep you from sharing the gospel. Romans 10:15 says, and how should they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Notice that precise wording, same as in our text. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. If we've experienced the gospel of peace ourselves, we can share that experience with others. We're just sinners leading other sinners to living water, right? But they need it. We've got to go. And when we go, we've got to be walking in the shoes of gospel peace so that we remember how to share with others. We can lead the thirsty to living waters. But do beware, friend. Gospel work is spiritual battle of the highest degree. And I believe that's some of what we're dealing with around here. And I just say it by word of warning to us. You know, I believe one reason, that Satan bombards us with different things is we are serious about sharing the gospel. You know, Highland is a mission-minded church. We're going to do missions. We're going to do outreach. We've had the jail ministry where we've shared the gospel within the context of the BSU. Many of our people, I believe, are sharing the gospel in their lives with friends and family members. But friend, I tell you what, we better have on the shoes of gospel peace. We better stand firm in that and put all this armor in place, because Satan's going to attack us if we try to do that. He's going to, and he is. I believe that's what part of our world situation is about today. We talk about, we've heard already how some short-term mission teams aren't allowed to go, at least for the next month or two. And then, you know, think of the impact that full-time missionaries are having that are on the field right now, whether it's danger of the virus or not being able to go and share, not being able to assemble for worship. different things that this has brought about. And you know what I really think? I think Satan's just, he's just gleeing over that. I threw him a curveball they weren't even thinking about. But our God reigns, friend. Our God reigns. Somehow he can take and use for good what was meant for evil. And I'm praying that that'll be one thing that'll happen with this virus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the shoes of gospel peace. I thank you, Lord, that you prepared for us the gospel itself for us to walk in. And, Lord, I'd hate to think that there was anybody worshiping with us tonight that didn't really know Jesus as Lord. But if so, Lord, you might call them to know you even tonight. They might see their need for a Savior so that they can have peace with God. Until that time, we know from your word there's certainly an enemy. There's separation between them and you. And only the good news of Jesus and all that he's done for us, received as a gift by faith, can change that and give them peace with you. And I pray, Lord, that if somebody needs to make that decision, that they'd come during response time in just a moment. Lord, we're also reminded of the peace of God, the peace we can have from you despite the storm going on around us, despite the battle that's taking place. We do have the ability to stand firmly. We can stand our ground. We can advance with these shoes of the gospel, I believe. We can share the gospel so that other people get saved and your kingdom is expanded and the kingdom of darkness loses another one. Lord, help us to think about that in these days in which we live. Maybe some that are unable to go to school or college, maybe some that are unable to go to work, can use this time for gospel conversations with friends or family members. Lord, maybe there would be doors that are open from unbelievers that have a great degree of uncertainty. They have fear instead of faith. And we can share with them why we don't have that degree of fear. We have faith. We know that you're in control. We know that you can use this for good despite the tragic nature of it already. And we pray that you would, Lord, that you would open doors instead of closed doors. We do pray, Lord, for the physical nature of this virus that's going around, that you would touch those who are sick with it, that you would guard our health workers that will encounter it, that you would keep our church family and other Bible-believing church families safe, Lord, from the virus. I pray for our community. I pray for our leaders again, Lord, that you would give them direction and discernment, that you would give the resources to those who need it, whether it's fighting with those who are already sick or trying to come up with ways to keep many from getting sick. Lord, we know that the greatest sickness is our sin. And I pray that you would use a time like this to draw us to our need for repentance, our need for revival, our need to confess our sinful ways and pray and ask you to heal our land and receive that from you, Lord. I know you're just waiting to give us revival when our hearts are open, when we're ready. And I pray that that be true not only for our church, but for our community, Lord. We'd love to see a great revival. We'd love to see your kingdom grow in our community. So we ask for it, and we ask for it boldly. In Jesus' name, amen.